So we're here this morning to dedicate these three children to the Lord. And when you think of baby dedication, or as I've put it in the bulletin, parent-child dedication, it's more than just dedicating children. It's about parents also making some choices and making some commitments as well. And so I came across five things that I think would be part of a child dedication service like this. First, I think a parent-child dedication is about giving thanks. It's about giving thanks and kind of recognizing what I'll call the wow factor. The fact that here is new life. Here is a child that God has given. And just to acknowledge God is the giver of good things. God is the giver of this life, this child. And I think anytime we have a child dedication service, we just need to acknowledge the wow factor that God has been good and thank Him and praise Him for the gift of a child that He has given. And secondly, it's an opportunity to make some promises. Now, I know that these parents, they're not coming up here today and all of a sudden, oh, we're making some promises. I think any parent makes some promises along the way. When the child is born, even before a child is born, Hannah in the Bible made promises to God before her son Samuel was even conceived. And so I think it's a time of making promises or renewing maybe promises that have been made in the past. Thirdly, it's a time, I think, for us to invite God's blessing on those children. And that's one of the things we want to do in the dedication prayers. We are asking God to lay His hands on and to bless these children, that in some way the hand of God will be steering them, the hand of God will be on their lives, and that He will be directing and correcting and training and putting His blessing on these children. Fourth, it gives an opportunity for others to offer their support and encouragement. And as I said before, there's grandparents, there's aunts and uncles, there's extended family here, and there's a church family here that we can stand with these parents that are dedicating their children, that we are coming around side of them, realizing that they need encouragement, they need support, they need our prayers. And it gives, I think baby dedication gives us that opportunity to as well stand with these parents as they dedicate their children. And fifthly, I think child dedication is a reminder to all parents. Many of you have been up here holding your children, and you have made promises. You have asked for God's blessings. You can probably think back to times and things that when you stood before God, or different times when you made promises to God for your children, or as you dedicated them to the Lord. And so it's a reminder of that. But I think it's also a reminder probably to children that maybe at the time they were dedicated didn't understand, but now as they look at the situation, they say, you know what, my parents stood up there holding me and dedicated me to the Lord and asked for God's blessing on my life. And I think that can also translate even to kids now, whether they're teenagers or other, whatever age they are, that one day my parents stood before God and before God's people and dedicated me to God. And I think that can also be a reminder as well for that. So just some things about that. And so with that, I would like to read a couple scriptures, or one scripture actually, that probably gets read almost any time there's a child dedication service. I'd like to read Mark chapter 10 and verses 13 to 16. This is, like I say, so familiar, and I don't know if I could say anything new and fresh about this, but I would like to read this passage of Scripture and make a few comments before I invite the parents up with their children. Mark chapter 10, verses 13 to 16. And they were bringing children to Him so that He might touch them. But the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw this, He was indignant and said to them, "Permit the children to come to Me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it at all." And He took them in His arms and began blessing them, laying His hands on them. So just as I thought about this, a couple thoughts. First of all, is they were bringing their children to Jesus. And the parents have brought their children to this place, and they'll be standing on the stage here. But ultimately, it's about bringing the children to Jesus. And with that, the disciples seem to be hindering that process. They were rebuking the parents for bringing these children to Jesus and thinking Jesus is too busy. Jesus is he's busy doing other ministry. And yet in all of it, Jesus is looking and taking time for these children. And actually, Jesus went over and beyond. All they asked, all the parents asked is, Jesus, could you just touch my child? And in the end, Jesus, what he does is he takes the children in his arms and he blesses them. And so it just kind of, it, to me, is this picture of Jesus went over and above what their expectations were. And I that would be my prayer, that I don't know what your expectations are as parents today as you dedicate your children, but that Jesus would go over and above that. That's what he does. The other thing that strikes me about this is the indignation that Jesus felt. The disciples were saying, well, you know, Jesus is too busy. Let's just kind of protect this. Let's not let the children come to him. And Jesus is indignant. There's an anger that rises up in him. Let the children come. Don't stop them. Don't hinder them from coming. And I think it's just a reminder again for us as a church and for our family, that God wants the children to come to him. And I think, again, I've said this before, but I think I just, sometimes you reinforce things by repeating it. But I think we should not underestimate the children's ability to perceive spiritual truth. Children are just so open. They're just so able to understand. And there's just something about children being drawn to Jesus. And you tell children about Jesus, they just seem to be drawn to him. And so I think we need to remember that. And in our training, in our Sunday school, in our in parents, whatever, I think just to be reminded that children are open to receive so much. And Jesus said talked about whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child. It's just this picture of a child just having this open heart and receiving what all that God has for them. So they were bringing the children to him, but there was also some struggles that were going with, they were being rebuked for doing it. The other thing that strikes me is the fact that when you picture this thing, I pictured, here's how I would picture this thing, would be mothers bringing their children to Jesus. But the Greek for when the disciples rebuke them is actually in masculine. So it was actually the fathers that were there as well. It doesn't say just the fathers were there, but it seemed like both parents were there. And so sometimes we see, you know, the mother's role in some of this. And in my head, I would have pictured the mothers bringing their children to Jesus and asking, can you touch them? Can you bless them? But the disciples were rebuking men. And so I think the fathers were there as well. And I just want to acknowledge that as the parents come up, that husband and wife are both there. This is a joint effort in training the children and dedicating them to Jesus. And then finally, Jesus just takes these children and he blesses. And just thinking about that, what does God's blessing look like? When Abraham was blessed by God, he was fruitful and he multiplied. When God's people are blessed, what does that look like? I think the whole idea of well-being, of peace, God, experiencing God's love, those are, I think, all things that come alongside of God's blessing. So with that, I would like to invite the parents to come up and bring their children, and if they just kind of find their way in here, that would be much appreciated. So appreciate so much you bringing these precious children to the house of the Lord to dedicate them to the Lord. Psalm 78, verses 5 to 8 says this, "For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should teach them to their children, that the generation to come might know, even the children yet to be born, that they may arise and tell them to their children, that they should put their confidence in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments and not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not prepare its heart and whose spirit was not faithful to God." The phrase I'd like to bring out, that they should help their children put their confidence in God. And so as you do that, we trust that God will be your source of strength. So I have a couple questions for you as parents, and would ask that you would answer with the "we do." As you present your children before God in dedication, do you consecrate yourselves as parents to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? And secondly, do you promise to the best of your ability to instruct your child by both your words and examples in the teachings of Christ? And do you promise with God's help to guide and encourage your child to one day trust Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord? And then I would like to speak to the extended family that is here. These parents, they need your encouragement, they need your prayers, they need your support. And I just want to acknowledge the role that grandparents especially play in the lives of their grandchildren. You have many stories to tell them, and kids have a way of responding to stories. You have ways, things that you can invest into your grandchildren, and aunts and uncles and extended family, we just want to encourage you as well. And then as church family, I want to encourage us as church family to stand alongside them in prayer and in asking God's grace and blessing on them. Those of you that raise your own children, you know the struggles and the trials that sometimes come with that. And with that, you, I think, have probably experienced other people encouraging you, and that you would do that for them. So what I'd like to do here is I'd like to pray a kind of general overarching prayer for the group as a whole, and then I would like to pray for each of the parents individually as they dedicate their child to the Lord. So please join me as we pray a prayer of dedication for each of these. If you want to turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 31. Most times if you would hear Proverbs 31, you would think of the last part of this this passage that is often used possibly on Mother's Day or other times of this worthy woman, this excellent woman who can find. But I'd like to draw our attention to the first verses of the first nine verses of Proverbs 31, and especially verse 2 is the verse that I want to spend a little bit of extra time on this morning. So Proverbs 31 and verse 1. "The words of King Lemuel, the oracle which his mother taught him. What, O my son, and what, O son of my womb, and what, O son of my vows, do not give your strength to women or your ways to that which destroys kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine or for rulers to desire strong drink. For they will drink and forget what is decreed and pervert the rights of all the afflicted. Give strong drink to him who is perishing, and wine to him whose life is bitter. Let him drink and forget his poverty, and remember his trouble no more. Open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of the unfortunate. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and defend the rights of the afflicted and needy." Proverbs 31, this part, these verses, is somewhat unique because it's a mother speaking to King Lemuel. Now, who is King Lemuel? There's no other reference in Scripture about who he might be, and so scholars have debated a bit who Lemuel might be. Some have said it could be Solomon, and that Bathsheba, his mother, used the word Lemuel to speak to her son. Lemuel simply means unto God or with God, so the sense of belonging to God or even devoted to God is in the meaning of the name Lemuel. So I think it's possible that it was Bathsheba speaking to King Solomon when she spoke these vows. I don't know for sure, but I don't know if it really matters in that sense. But I think the idea of being devoted to God or the dedicated to God even is in the name Lemuel. So I'd like to kind of put that out there. But it's also unique in the sense that this is a mother speaking to her son. Almost the first, probably 30 Proverbs are a father speaking to his son. And so the Proverbs are very much about a father and a mother speaking to their children and seeking to train in wisdom, seeking to train in righteousness, seeking to direct their children on a path of righteousness. And so with that, as the Proverbs are there, that you can see there's many different choices that children are facing, and parents are hoping to provide what is right. So I've entitled my message, Giving Good Gifts to Our Children. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 11 and 12, Jesus is speaking, and he says this, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him?" And so Jesus is assuming that we as parents, there's just something about parents, their desire to give good things to their children. They want to give what is right. I don't think any parent wants to some way jeopardize the future of their children. There's just something that God has put in, and Jesus said, even being evil, you still have this desire to impart something good into the hearts and lives of your children. And I want to draw on that especially from verse 2. Here's this mother asks some questions. Now, the NIV, I don't think, brings it out in the same way. I think the NAS here in my translation just asks the question and doesn't try to expand it. I'm going to make some comments on that. But verse 2 in the New American Standard says this, "What, O my son, and what, O son of my womb, and what, O son of my vows?" Three times this mother asks the what question. What am I going to do? So Bible translators now have to decide with what does what mean? What is she trying to say, or what is she trying to ask? And so different translations will try to expand on the word what. So the ESV, I think, says, it says, "What are you doing?" So I think sometimes parents would expand that and see their children making choices they don't want, and their what question would be, "What are you doing? What in the world is going on? What kind of choice I've taught you better?" So ESV has chosen to expand the what question and say, "What are you doing?" But the Amplified has chosen to go this way. This is the Amplified in verse 2. "What, my son, what son of my womb, what shall I advise you, son of my vows and dedication to God?" Different translations, the Bible in Basic English says, "What am I to say to you, O Lemuel, my oldest son?" The Holman Christian Bible, Christian Standard Bible says, "What should I say, my son?" So there's kind of two schools of thought. One being, what are you doing? Or the other one is, what should I say? And I'm going to choose, the what being, what should I advise you? What should I say? What do I give you that would in some way protect you? And so the reason I'm going that way is because of the context. The context of the next few verses is a mother looks down the road and sees this king that she is raising and sees the opportunity for strong drink and says, "What can I do to keep him from that?" Sees the lust of the situation, the immorality of her day, and says, "How can I protect him from that? What can I say to him that will surround him, will give him wisdom to protect him from the immorality of the day? What can I do that will give him the courage, will impart the courage to my son that he will stand up for what is right? He will protect the situation of the poor." I think, and so when she asks the what question three times, I think she's asking, what can I put into my son? What can I put into my daughter that is going to protect them from the evils of the day, of the evils that they are going to face? And what can I put in them that they are going to live courageous lives, that they are going to speak up for righteousness, that are going to protect the mute, the disabled, the people of the unfortunate? Mike says in verse 8, "Open your mouth for the mute and for the rights of the unfortunate. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and defend the rights of the afflicted and needy." So not only does she want to protect her son from the evils out there. She wants him to stand for the good. And so I think there's two things that you want to do. You, as parents, you want to give them what they're going to need to stand against the evils of the day, but you also want them to be able to stand up for the good, to live courageous, to live a faith-filled life, to live a Caleb Joshua kind of life as well. And so I think her statement, son of my womb or son of my vows, really reflects this whole idea, this desire that she had. And I just want to again point out, I think this mother had this desire that she wanted what was best for her child. She wanted her child to become that man of God, that woman of God that would make a difference, that would in some way reflect God's grace and nature in the world around that this child was going to live in. So it reflected a desire of parents to give good things to their children. It, I think, also reflected a promise. She says, son of my vows. Now, what does that phrase mean? I'm not totally sure. It could mean her marriage vows. It was a son that came out of the marriage vows. But my guess would be, a vow that was made when the son was born or conceived, that like Hannah said, God, if you will give me this son, he will be dedicated to you all the days of his life. So this was a son of her vows. There were promises and covenants that were made, vows that were spoken when this child was born or dedicated in some way to God. So he was not only the son of her womb, but also the son of her vows. There were promises. So with that, but it also, I think, reflects that the role that the mother saw. It says, I have a role in this child's life. I have a God-given role to speak into this child's life and to help guide and shape this life. So when we ask the question, what can I give my children? What can I do? I want to say, first of all, in way of disclaimer, I have never raised a son. I have never raised a daughter. I would have loved to have had that opportunity. And I don't know what it will all take. I don't know. I can't say that this is it. You do these things and it's all going to work out good. I can't say that. But I think there's some things that we can give. And so first of all, I've written down a few things that I just want, and many of you already probably know some of those things that you want to invest and speak into your children's lives. The what do I say? What do I, kind of advice do I give? So first of all, I have the gift of protection. The gift of protection from destructive choices in life. This mother wanted to protect her son from immorality, immoral women. She wanted to protect him from strong wine, from drinking wine and strong drink. So there were things, she says, if you choose those things, that's going to lead on a path of destruction. So she was like, what can I do to invest something into my son's life that's going to protect him? So we think of protection often as they don't get hurt in the playground or whatever, but I'm looking at protection more in protecting them from making unhealthy or poor choices in life. And so as you as parents seek to do that, may God give you wisdom. So the best gift, or one of the best gifts you can give, is to give them the wisdom and to impart that protection around them and place those values into their hearts that will protect them from destructive choices in life. Now, I know that you can't protect them. You can as much as you want, you can do that, and yet children make their own choices. Those are things that we can't always control, but I think that's also the what. What am I going to do, God? Looking to God for his strength and help in those things. Secondly, I have giving them the gift of being faithful and consistent in everyday kinds of things. Now, parenting is I recognize that there's huge challenges in parenting, and I just want to bless you as parents in the work that you do. Sometimes, though, we think we see parenting as kind of the big thing, and yet I just want to just acknowledge that one of the best gifts you give your children is just being the consistent and faithful in the everyday things of life. The simple things that you do every day that are there, being there for your children and in caring for them, serving them, reading to them, praying with them, just the everyday things you do, I think, are important. And sometimes we think of the big things we can do, but there's a lot of little things you do as parents. I was talking to a man who is he's probably my age, about 50 years old now. He was grew up in a pastor's home, and we were just talking about the importance of relationships to our parents. And he was telling me a story about his dad, who was a traveling evangelist. And so every Sunday, the family routine was that they would take their dad to the airport. And he would fly off or go off to that next week of services and meetings. And he struggled with his dad having being gone so long. And the thing that marked his life was a negative thing that marked his life was this. He just said, "I was angry at God and I was angry at my dad for one small reason." And I asked, like, "What? I mean, your dad was a pastor. He was," and he said, "Whenever my dad would walk through the security in the airport, and then he would walk, and here's all the kids lined up with their mother watching, and the dad would walk, and he would never turn back, and he would just keep on going." And he says, that just left a mark in my life. He says, why wouldn't my dad turn around and wave? Why would he not in some way acknowledge us as kids there? And so as a 40-year-old man, he went to his dad, and he said, "Dad, why didn't you turn around? Why didn't you wave?" And his dad says, "Son, I couldn't. I would have broke down." He says, "I would have turned back from going." He says, I could not go. And if I'd have turned back and seen you all there," he says, "I would have had to come back and I would not have gone to those meetings." Now you see the struggles on both sides. You see a dad struggling, saying, "I can't do this." And yet these children lined up and saying, "Dad, would you just turn back and look?" Just a reminder to us that parenting is sometimes not all about the big things. It's just the simple little things that you do to acknowledge your children and your love and your desire to have a relationship with them. So raising children, giving them the gift of being faithful and consistent in everyday life. And in whatever the rules and the values that you place down, being consistent with them, not moving the goalposts and the roadblocks too many times so that your children get frustrated and discouraged. Number three, one of the things you can give your children is the gift of a healthy and a strong marriage. It's just something, again, you all know, but I just want to put out there again. Kids need that stability of a home that they know that this is a safe place, and that the two people that are there to protect them and guide them love each other and care for them. If they don't experience that, there's just something in children. I came across this quote, and I don't even know where I came across it, but I wrote it down, was children know intuitively that if something happens to mom and dad, their whole world will collapse. And we have seen what damage, divorce, and all those things have for children, because their whole world just gets thrown upside down. The best gift you can give, one of the best gifts you can give your children, is a healthy and a strong marriage. When your marriage isn't strong, your children will understand that, and they will recognize that. What else can we give to our children? You can give them your prayers. You can spend time before God's throne in praying for them. You can uphold them before the Lord. And just the importance of praying for your children every day is something that is, you bring them to God. God can work in their lives. I came across the account of Amy Carmichael. I actually worked with a pastor when I was in India who was raised in an orphanage that Amy Carmichael started and was actually heading up. Amy Carmichael was a missionary to India and had a real heart for the orphan children in India, and so she established huge orphanages. And had over 1,000 children in these orphanages. And I came across a prayer that she prayed for her children. And I just thought this was so good. I just had to include this on the importance of giving your kids the gift of prayer before God. And this is her prayer for her orphan children. "Father, hear us. We are praying. Hear the words our hearts are saying. We are praying for our children. Keep them from the powers of evil, from the secret and hidden peril. Father, hear us for our children. From the worldling's hollow gladness, from the sting of faithful sadness, Father, keep our children. Through life's troubled waters, steer them. Through life's bitter battles, cheer them. Father, be near them. And wherever they may abide, let them come home at eventide. And that was Amy Carmichael's prayer for her children. Next, you want to give your children your faith in God. You want to teach them, as the Psalm 78 says, that they would put their confidence in God. And again, do you teach your children to believe God? But not only just in the words you speak, do you trust God in the everyday things of life? And as you receive answers to prayer, that in your family devotions, however you do them, that you acknowledge when God has come through and God has heard those prayers and answered those prayers, that your children will also learn to grow to trust God and to experience Him in their prayer lives. So the scriptures are full of examples of parents who help their children trust God. And Timothy would be one example. And for 2 Timothy 1 verse 5 says, "For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm sure it is in you as well." And then in 2 Timothy 3:14 and following it says, "You, however, continue in the things which you have learned and become convinced of, knowing that from whom you have learned them and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." So Timothy had a mother and a grandmother that was teaching him the scriptures, and as a child he could embrace, he had memorized scriptures, he had understood, and it's what faith that as God speaks to our hearts through the scriptures, that faith grows in our hearts and lives. So we want to give our children our time in prayer. We want to give our children a faith and putting their confidence in God as they as we impart the scriptures to them. We also want to give them our time and a listening ear. I came across a story by Charles Francis Adam. He was a 19th century political figure and a diplomat. I have no idea who he was, but one day he wrote in his diary. And obviously a very busy man and involved in a lot of governmental kind of affairs. And in his diary, he said, "Went fishing with my son today, a day wasted." But years later, they came across the son's diary. And his son had written in his diary, "Went fishing with my father, the most wonderful day of my life." Here was a father that looked at a fishing trip with his son and said, "You know what, I've got government business I should be doing. It was a day wasted." The son looked at it and said, "It was the best day of my life. I spent it with my dad." And I know that lives are busy and there's all kinds of things that kind of come in behind that. And yet I would just encourage, one of the gifts you can give them is your time. Do you give your children your time? And with your time, I think a listening ear. Now, however that looks like, whether that's going out for lunch with your little daughter, whether that's whatever that might be, give them your time and your listening ear. Give them your love and affirmation. The example of this would be God the Father speaking to His Son Jesus. He wanted the whole world to know, and so He spoke it from heaven, and He said this, "You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased." That was God the Father speaking to His Son so the world would hear it. Do your children hear your love and affirmation? Do they just hear your rebuke and correction? You want to do that, and I'm not saying you don't rebuke and correct your children. You need to, but they also need to hear your love and affirmation. God the Father spoke that over His Son. And so with that, I think we need to be reminded that that's one of the most powerful gifts and precious gifts that you as parents can give your children. And I'd like to close again. There's so many things. There's no end to the list of things you might want to give your children, but I'm just giving you some ideas. I'm throwing some of them out there. But you also want to give them appropriate training and discipline. Proverbs 22 verse 6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." So with that, there's a training and a discipline that is part of the giving of things, good things, to your children. So with that, I would like to close again with I have an old Methodist hymnal in my bookshelf, and every once in a while I pull it out. I use it more in the sense of poetry and devotional reading sometimes, and I came across this one song, Song 798, was called Dedication of Children to Christ. And it's written in old style English, so I'm not sure if I'll be able to read it properly, but it just, I think, gave us a sense of what I was hoping to communicate here this morning. And it's a prayer, it's a song that's written, taken out of a hymnal, so I have no idea what the music sounded like, but I'm going to use it more as a poem. And it says this: Captain of our salvation, take the souls we here present to thee, and fit for thy great service make these heirs of immortality, and let them in thy image rise, and then transplant them to paradise. Unspotted from the world and pure, preserve them for thy glorious cause, accustomed daily to endure the welcome burden of thy cross, trained by toil and patient pain, till all thy perfect mind they gain. Our sons henceforth be wholly thine, and serve and love thee all their days. Infuse the principle divine in all who here expect thy grace. Let each improve the grace bestowed, rise every child a man of God. Train up thy hardy soldiers, Lord, in all their captains' steps to tread, or send them to proclaim the word, thy gospel through the world to spread, freely as they receive to give, and preach the death by which we live. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I would like to thank you today for the families represented in this room. I want to thank you, Jesus, for the work that you're doing in families. I want to thank you for the commitment that parents have made to you, not only today, but years past. Lord, commitments that grandparents have made to their children in years past and to their grandchildren today. I pray, O God, that as we see stress on marriages, on families in our day, and even seeking to redefine those your definition of marriage and family. God, I just ask that you would protect the families of this church, the families in this region. And God, today I just ask that you will impart to parents much wisdom. And Lord, as they seek to answer the what question, what do I say? What advice do I give? How do I protect my children? God, that you will impart your wisdom and grace to them in a special way. So God, we just look to you and give you thanks and praise for the gift of children. Lord, your word says children are a heritage, an inheritance from you. And God, we just thank you so much for the children of this church and ask, oh God, your blessing on them in Jesus' name. Amen.